Welcome to the HJ Talks About Abuse podcast, the podcast where we talk about sexual abuse cases in the hope that it will assist listeners in openly discussing topics which have been ignored for too long. This podcast is brought to you by the abuse team at Hugh James. We are lawyers, so we tend to speak about the legal aspects of abuse cases, but we aren't too shy to speak up about the broader issues faced by survivors of sexual abuse too. We hope that you find it interesting, but more than that, if you are a survivor of sexual abuse, we hope that you find our discussion empowering.
Hello, podcast listeners. I am Alan Collins, the partner who heads up the abuse team at Hugh James. I'm joined by my colleague, Danny Vincent. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Alan.
Danny, I understand for this podcast, you want to discuss what is known as Sammy's Law. So by way of an intro, could you tell us, please, what Sammy's Law is or is all about?
Yes, yeah, so Sammy's Law has come about from Sammy Woodhouse. So she has campaigned tirelessly over the years for awareness in respect of the Rotherham sexual abuse rings. For some of our listeners who may not be aware of this, between the 80s and early 2000s, Rotherham Grooming Gang committed significant child abuse and exploitation. And she, in 2013, went to the Times newspapers and handed over evidence of what was happening, and they ran a story about it. And this spurred basically an independent report and investigation by the police. And from it, it exposed that 1,400, if not more, children had been abused and failed in Rotherham.
It's extraordinary, and it's an extraordinary story. And of course, it's also extraordinary for the fact that, you know, Sammy Woodhouse was able to expose what happened. And we've got Sarah Champion, the MP for Rotherham, and her incredible work in this particular area in exposing what happened and the consequences for the children and, you know, the community generally as regards what happens when basically the situation is created where these abusers are able to abuse at will. And of course, what also comes out of Rotherham is the fact that, of course, as we appreciate, child abuse is extremely damaging. And one particular aspect of all of this is the fact that children who are being abused are often in very vulnerable situations anyway, and that vulnerability is exploited and made worse, if that's the right way of putting it. And children and young people can end up committing crimes themselves through what's going on. And is it not that the idea behind Sammy's Law is to recognise that reality?
Yeah, it's twofold. It's to pardon those that have been convicted whilst they were being coerced and groomed, but also to try to lift the stigma of somebody who, you know, in later life is getting over this abuse or, you know, at least trying to move on, that they have to then go and explain to their employer either why they've got this conviction, so they have to disclose the abuse to a complete stranger, or they will be prevented in some respects from applying for some jobs.
And is there not also this argument that if a child commits a crime whilst they're being abused or they're being subject to abuse, should not be prosecuted for the offence that they've gone and committed? So, for example, a child is being groomed and being sexually exploited, there's perhaps some living part of their time on the streets, that, you know, that kind of desperate situation, and in order to survive, they go and commit an offence, maybe, you know, a shoplift or something. Is there not an argument to say, well, the police and the prosecution look at the general picture and realise that if offences are being committed, they're being committed for a reason, which is all to do with the fact that the youngster is being sexually exploited and therefore in the circumstances should not be prosecuted?
Yes, that's one of the main things that Sam's Law is trying to raise awareness from. And also, it's situations like a child is being abused and groomed, and so they commit a crime because they're either encouraged or pushed to do it. And then an abuser has this huge control over that individual. It's then a threat that they can expose them for what they've done so that they're even more trapped in this situation because they can't disclose the abuse because they have somebody holding something over them.
So another scenario could be like drug running. You know, we hear of county lines and so on. So quite often, as part and parcel of this sexually exploited situation, drugs are involved, drug supply, and so on. And I have come across cases where the abusers are involved with drug smuggling, importation, and other criminal aspects of the illegal drug industry, for want of a better phrase, and use sexual abuse as a means to fulfill their, you know, their objectives. And so you could see a situation where maybe a youngster is being sexually abused, but they're also being used as a courier to get drugs from one city to another. And you can see in that situation where there would be an argument that the youngster did not ought to be prosecuted, given the circumstances. Ordinarily, of course, prosecution, police would be looking at prosecuting because, you know, supplying drugs, moving drugs around is an extremely serious matter with huge implications. But as I said, in that scenario, you could see the argument as to why a young person ought not to be prosecuted.
Yeah, there's so many scenarios that could apply to children or young people, or, you know, as we've already discussed, as an individual gets older, this conviction will be on their record and it will, you know, restrict or prevent certain areas that they may wish to work in, especially if you need a clear CRB check or any enhanced checks. It's really limiting and it really is going to prevent people from moving on in the best way that they can.
I think there's a precedent, is there not, for this kind of law when it comes to trafficking? Isn't there a defence that is applicable in respect of human trafficking? If you've been trafficked as an individual, but as part of, you know, the picture, you commit an offence. Isn't there law that affords a defence if you are the victim of trafficking at the time?
So by implementing this, this would almost be a similar approach that an individual that has been coerced or threatened, and we are talking about people that at the time can be very, very young, can be pardoned. And, you know, this campaign has had support from a lot of people. So MPs like Louise Hague and the former police chief constable, John Boucher, both have supported this campaign and can see why the law needs to be changed.
So it sounds as though there's a good argument as to why it should be changed. And I suppose the big question, or the next question is going to be, is whether or not government is going to be interested in doing anything about it.
Yeah, and further information can be found. In our blog that supports this podcast, we've put the links to Sammy Woodhouse's website, and you can also look this up on Twitter on how that this is progressing. It's also worth saying, Alan, that if there are parents out there that are worried about that their child may be being groomed, that they can also look on Sammy Woodhouse's website for signs of this, and that if there is anybody that's under 18 that this may be impacting. We've also linked the contact details for Childline.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Danny. Thank you, listeners. As always, if you have any questions or concerns arising from this podcast or from any of our other podcasts, then please do get in touch with us. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of HJ Talks About Abuse. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favourite podcast player. If you'd like to speak to us about something you've heard today, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at aboutabuse@hjtalks.co.uk.